Everyone in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to what God wants to say to us today, and I just always love it when God talks, and so I guess that's why I love Sundays and Wednesdays, and I love pretty much any time I get a chance to hear from Him or speak about Him. If you're turning your Bibles with me today to John, the 13th chapter. It's a story that's probably very familiar, but one that is rarely practiced, and one that even more than that is very lightly understood. It is simply where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Look at the person beside you and say, I've heard that story. It's not a very uncommon story. It's not a hard story, but the definition or the meaning behind it is a lot deeper than a lot of us ever are going to go. So this morning, I want to tap into that. Look at the person beside you and say, do you want to be happy? I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't want to be happy, doesn't want to have joy and happiness in their life. Well, I've got the easiest answer. In fact, I've got an answer that will solve that problem today. But that's sometimes like going to the doctor. It's like, I got the flu, doc. I don't like having the flu. It's bad. But then when I look at you and a doctor looks at you and says, well, now we'll have to give you a couple shots. I don't like shots. Yeah, but you done told me you don't like the flu, but I don't like shots either. But the only way to get rid of this flu is to get the shots. And there's a debate in our mind which one we really want to live with the longest. You know, maybe the flu will just go away by itself. And some of us in this room just think we'll get happy by ourselves. We'll just one day wake up and be happy. We'll just one day wake up and all our misery will be gone. We'll wake up one day and we won't be depressed anymore. We'll wake up one day and we won't be discouraged anymore. We'll wake up one day and we'll have nice things to say about people instead of complaining all the time. Maybe it'll just go away if we don't mess with it. I've got news for you. It won't. I want to show you this morning what will remove and what will take away any depression, any unhappiness. You can walk out of here today and be the happiest person in the world. You can. But you've got to choose it. It's not easy, but it works. In John, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 3. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded. When then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt knowest hereafter. Peter said unto Him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean, ever white. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore saith he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed the disciples' feet, and he had taken his garments, he was set down again, and he said unto them, know you not what I have done? He simply asked the question to three guys who had been following him for almost 3 years. Do you have any idea what I just did? Do you have any concept of what I just did? Do you know in your mind what just took place in your life? This was a custom in Israel. This was a custom when you entered into someone's home and you were a guest, that someone would wash your feet or help you clean your feet from the sandals collecting, whatever they collected, along the street. So this was a common practice, and they're thinking, well, but Lord, a servant always washes the feet of whoever the guest is, and that's the way it is, and we don't understand what you're doing. And no, really, we don't understand, because we call you Master, we call you Lord, and here you are. You should have got one of us to wash everybody's feet, and you should have gotten somebody else to do it. And when Jesus looks at them and says, do you have any idea what I just did? Most of the time, we don't. Most of the time, we have no idea what just took place in our life. But we're going to have to, if we're going to be able to understand what God wants us to do and be in our lives. You going to help me this morning? Come on. You get a chair. And let's walk through this. Jesus is with the disciples. Could be 12 of us, 13 altogether. But the fact is, I don't got time to do all 13, 12 feet. Is that okay? So let's just say it was just us sitting here. And there at the supper, they've done eating. Everything is over. It's finished. They've done celebrating. Jesus has told them all about trying to explain to them what He's fixing to do, how He's fixing to go to the cross. And they don't like the idea. He knows everything is fixing to take place. The Bible says in the second verse of John 13 that Judas at this moment now is full of the devil. Or the devil has fully got control of him. There is no turning back. There is no going backwards now. Everything is in place. And Jesus knows that Judas is full of evil. But He says, I also know something else. Verse 3 says, Jesus knew that He was sent by the Father. And Jesus also knew that exactly what He was sent to do, and He knew exactly what He was supposed to accomplish. And at that moment, something happened. And I want you to realize, let's walk through the steps very carefully. First, number one, Jesus, the Bible said, began to do what? He took off His garment. He took off His garment. He arose from the table where He was at. After He had removed the garment that He had on, He arose from the table. Then what did He do? Girded Himself and took a towel. Got prepared. Then what did He do? Poured water. Prepared something. Something was prepared to do something. And as soon as He had prepared the water, He began to do what? Come here. Sit here. Take your shoe off. When I was growing up, we did this quite often. All the men would go get in the church, one of the classrooms. They don't do this anymore. I don't know why. It's one of the most humbling, one of the greatest things that you could ever do. Feels kind of weird, don't it? Somebody else washing your foot. You got any body part on your whole body that's worse than your feet? No, me neither. We can hide grown toenails. We can hide everything in shoes. But it's another thing when somebody takes that and all of a sudden they clean your feet. The Bible says Jesus washed their feet. Cleaned it. It's clean now. Nothing on it. One of these days, I plan to take my kids and my wife. I plan to do my whole family. I hadn't done it yet. God hadn't led me to, but it's coming. And so, Jesus is sitting here. Aren't you glad I'm not going to do all 12? It would take a while, wouldn't it? But I want you to see that Jesus is doing this to men that a lot of times he already knows within a few hours are going to run from Him. He washes Peter's feet. He already knows before morning Peter's going to deny Him three times. But yet he washes his feet. He cleans them. Prepares them. When he's through, you stay seated. I'm going to use you in a little bit. You're doing good. When he's through, the Bible says he does what? Sets the towel aside. Puts back his own garments. Am I still biblical? And he does what? And he sits. And he looks at those 12 and he asks them a question. What's the question? Do you have any idea what I just did for you? Their answer is no. But the answer to that is your happiness. The answer to that question is whether you will ever, ever be happy in your life. The answer in that simple thing that he does is a mystery. And he knows it's a mystery. But he also knows that in time to come you will understand that what I'm doing and how it will make your life happy and how it will change you forever. Now let me preach this. Is this okay now? Let's walk through this together. First thing that he does, he removes his garments and he does what? He rises from the table. Nobody's asked him to do it. Nobody's questioned him to do it. He just simply does it on his own. I want you to go with me to John 1 and verse 3. John chapter 1, verse 3. Later when they're writing this Bible, they understand everything. Later when they're putting this thing together, they understand what took place. John 1 verse 3 says it this way. All things were made what? And without Him was not anything made that was made. Go with me to Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16 says it this way. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and what? And for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him does all things consist. Now I want you to see what was taking place, not in the physical that night, but in the spiritual. There was somebody that the entire world was created by. There was somebody who had created everything, created every disciple that was sitting at the table, had created the city they were sitting in, had created the food that they had eaten, had created every single thing that they had. Everything, every breath they were breathing was coming through Him. Everything was being held together in the universe by His power. But there He sat at a table that night and He said, I want to show you what took place one day. One day in heaven, my Father said, I've got a plan. My Father said, I've got a design that I want to enact. And here's the way it's got to work. One day I want you to dethrone yourself. I want you to remove the garments that you have. You see, where Jesus was when this thing started, He was sitting in eternity. He wasn't sitting at a table. He wasn't sitting in just some earthly throne. But He was sitting where all things were created. He was sitting where nothing was nothing, but yet by His Word, everything came to be. When He said, let there be light, there was light. When He said, let the sun and the stars come into existence, they did. This is where He sat. This was the power and the authority that He lived under. There was no time consistent with Him, for He lived outside of time. He didn't get older. A day was to Him like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years was no more than one day. And there He sat. But one day in heaven, God says it's time. And there in the throne room of glory, the only one that had ever stood beside the Father Himself, the Godhead, There he stands up in the midst of all the throng. The supper that's taking place in heaven with angels worshiping him. Cherubims and seraphims worshiping and crying out to him, "Holy, holy." He stands up in the middle of them and he begins to derobe himself. And he begins to take off eternity's power. He begins to remove every bit of the authority that he once had and he lived in. Every bit of the deity that he had, he took off. Nobody took it from him. Nobody removed it from him. Nobody asked him and nobody had the power to take it. Satan himself had tried to ascend, but yet in one word was dethroned, was sent running. But yet he in his own power, in his own ability, said, I choose to lay it down. Nobody takes my life. Nobody has given my life up but me. Nobody can have it. Nobody can dethrone me. I have given up that power by the force and by the authority of my Father. So there he comes. Second thing that he does when he removes the authority that he has, what kind of person is he going to be? The Bible says next, what does he do? You know the story now. You just told me you know the story. He does what? Takes a towel, girds himself, prepares himself for what is fixing to take place. He's not going into this lightly. It's not just some free-for-all, something I feel like doing today, but I may quit church tomorrow. It's a decision that he's made in his life. He's put on a towel. I'm going to be a servant, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to serve. I did not come, the Bible said, when he spoke of himself. He said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. I didn't come for those that were healed, but I came for the sick and the lost. I came looking for those that were lame and hurting. I came for those that were in need. That's what I came to do. I came with a towel on my shoulder. So he enters this world. And he enters it as a servant. He enters it as somebody with no name and no reputation. He enters it as somebody who has no power and no authority. You say, well, Brother Lot, maybe that's just who he is. No, no, go with me to Revelations 1 and 17. See, John was at that table that day. But I love this one scripture so much. Because one day when I meet him, I won't meet him as a servant. John 1 and 17. And when I saw him, this was John on the Isle of Patmos after years of not being and seeing Jesus. The last time he had seen him, he was just some servant washing his feet. But now he gets a vision of him. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first, I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And the keys of hell and death. When he saw him full of glory again. He saw him the way he was from eternity. He saw him with white hair. And he saw him as his voice, as many rivers. He saw him filled with glory. But what they saw that night was a dethroned, a person who chose to be less than. Go with me in your Bibles to John 17. Oh, you got to get this. Because your salvation depends on it. Your whole life depends on it. Jesus says this about himself. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that what? Which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus says, I know where I'm going back to. But I know at this moment in my life, this is what I've been called to do. This is what I've been brought in this thing to do. What does he do next? He takes a towel. He girds himself. Now he grabs the what? He prepares for his own submission. He prepares to uplift you. He prepares something that you could not even prepare for yourself. You couldn't ask him to do it. You couldn't order him to do it. You couldn't say, Jesus, get down and wash my feet. You couldn't tell a king to do that. But yet a king decided to do that. And he kneels down. He takes the water in the basin. And in insignia, he's doing this. He's taking a cross. And he prepared his own cross. You think the Romans invented crucifixion? God put that in somebody's mind. In fact, it was prophesied that he would die that way hundreds of years by a prophet before the actual act of crucifixion was ever invented. It was never even invented yet. There was no country, no culture that did crucifixion, had never heard of it. And when this prophet stood up and said, there will be one that will be nailed to a tree, there will be one, they thought, there's nobody that dies. There's people who get speared to death, they get beheaded, they get saw, but nobody gets crucified. I've never heard of such thing. But by the time the Romans come along, guess what? They've invented this wonderful torture. They've invented this new way of making somebody humiliated. They've invented a way to make somebody hurt as bad as they possibly can before they die. In fact, they don't die by just simply being nailed to a tree. They don't die by the beating. They die because as they hang with their arms and their shoulder blades pressing together, their very lungs collapse and they can't hold themselves up to breathe. And they crucify, basically they kill themselves because they can't force themselves to live any longer. That's why the Bible says when he hung his head, as the song would go, between the locks of his shoulders. That literally means the moment you fall and can't hold yourself up and you go to this, there's no way to breathe. You've crushed your own lungs and you can't force any more air in. He chose it. He chose it for himself. He prepared it because you deserved it but couldn't bear it. You deserved it for all you've done and all you've said and all your selfishness and all your pride and all your arrogance and all your want it my way. He said, but yet here I come. I will put on a towel for you. I will do it for you. And he washes the disciples' feet. That's hard for us, isn't it? Because we want to bring something to the table. We think we bring something. We show up dressed up for church and we think we brought something to the table. I want to tell you something. You didn't bring nothing to the table. The only reason you're not retarded in some messed up home right now is because God gave mercy in your life. That's the only reason you're where you are and not where any other body else would be. The only reason you're where you are, not in a hospital today dying of some disease, is because the mercies of God just simply said, I got news for you. There ain't a doctor that can cure it. There ain't a doctor that can fix it. They can try to cut it out and remove it, but there's only one God that shows mercy. And every one of us in this room today, mercy has shown on you, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. There's been mercy poured into your life. You can stand there and not worship Him. You can act like you've been doing it yourself, making your own choices. But I got news for you. There was somebody that came before you that put a towel on His shoulder. When the enemy had you, when the enemy said, I won't let go, there was one who said, I'll come and I'll wash it clean. I'll wash your feet. I'll wash every part. I don't want you to be that to me. It ain't right for you to die for me. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, unless you accept it, you can't have no part of me. If there was another way, Peter, I'd let you wash your own feet. I'd let you do it yourself. But there's only one way. I have to wash them. I have to do it. It's my blood that has to wash you clean. It's my blood that has to bring you out. It's my power. It's my authority. God's going to have reverence for me, not you. Peter says, then wash my head and wash my hands. Ain't that like most of us? I look at you and I say, guys, God loves you. He saved you. Yeah, but Brother Lord, I still struggle with this. I still struggle. I'm not worth it. If He's washed you. I said, if He's washed you. And quit complaining about your hands and quit complaining about your feet and quit complaining about your head. You're going to have struggles in this world, and you're going to have to keep pressing on. And there's going to be times there's things that seem like they grab a hold of you. But don't you worry. What God has done inside of you will always come through. It will always wash out whatever sin is cultivating. It will always wash out if you just cling to and you remember. It will bring the joy that nothing else can bring joy of. It'll bring you through when nothing else can bring you through. The enemy will have you worried about what isn't right and what hasn't been fixed and how there's still imperfections. Jesus says, I don't have to wash your hands. I don't have to wash your head. If I've washed your feet, if I've washed your heart, what he would say later, if my blood has been applied to that heart, I'm going to tell you something. You can't get it off. You can't scrub it off. You may run and try to hide from it. You may deny it and try to go back to your own world. But you'll be the most miserable person in the world once you've known what my love is like. Once you've tasted my love, there is no other way to live. When he's finished, when he's through, when he's washed, what does he do? Go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 1. The Bible says he sat down, takes off the robe, servant. He puts back on the jacket, the robe that he has. What does he do? Sits down. Sits down. Hebrews 1, Paul later writing about this very same thing. You're there, I got to get there. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who in sundried times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by what? Hath in these last days, spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by His word and His power, when He had by Himself. Look at that person beside you and say, he didn't need none of your help. He didn't say, he and you. He didn't say, with Tim Lott's help. No, it said, by himself. With no one's help. With no one needing to help. He purged our sins. And then sat down. Sat down on the right hand of majesty and he looked at his disciples then sitting at that table and he asked them the question I'm asking you. Do you have any idea what I just did for you? Do you have any idea what I did for you? They would look and say, no. But he doesn't stop there. Go back with me to John. Oh, we're just getting good now. Because you're not happy yet. But you will be. Verse 13. You call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so am I. Now here's where we have to start working it in. If I can understand what took place, if I can understand what happened to me, then there's something that I can do. If I can get that wrestled into my spirit, if I can get that pressed into my heart, then I can have enough boldness to stand when somebody says, well, I don't believe in God. You can look at them and smile and say, you can be an idiot if you want to. Yeah, you just be as dumb as you want to. It don't bother me a bit. I got news for you. He is my Lord and He is my Master. See, until I know what He did for me, I don't have the boldness to stand up and actually defend Him. But once I know what He's done for me, I could care less what you think. I could care less what plaque you got on the wall that says you know something. I could care less what theology or ideology or whatever it is that you're trying to decree in and speak and say, I know something. I got news for you. You didn't purge yourself. You didn't help yourself. You didn't create the air that you breathe. You ain't got the foggiest idea how we even got here. You don't have to come up with a new idea of evolution every other year and have to rewrite your school books to try to convince our kids that we don't know what happened, but we know it wasn't God. But I've come by to tell you that I know who purged my sins. I know who washed my sins away. I know who took care of me. I know who brought me out. And He didn't need my help to do it. He did it by His own power and His own authority. And if somebody says, where is He? I'll tell you where He is. Right now He's on the right hand of the Father. And He's waiting for one more order. And that order is go get your kids. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the last order for His Father to look over and say, son, bring them home. Bring them home. And I want to see the dead rise. And I want to see those that are alive and remain be caught up in the air. And I don't care if I'm at work that day. I don't care if I'm nailing nails that day. I don't care if I'm in this pulpit preaching a sermon. My clothes can just fall to the floor and I can instantly be put on a robe and be standing among the clouds. And you're not going to discourage me one bit that I didn't finish this sermon, because I'm going home to be with my Master and I'm going home to be with my Lord. The one that I say yes sir to, the one that I obey, the one that I follow, the one that did for me what nobody else could do for me. He said, listen guys, you call me Master and you do good. But that's not it. Let's go a little further. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to also wash. Oh, now here's where we have a problem. See, church is fun as long as it's about us getting something. Me getting my blessing. Me not having to be involved or committed or anything and discouraged, or I have to do anything to change any part of my life. I don't mind Him dying for me. I don't mind Him washing my sins. I don't mind Him doing all that. But you know what? Don't ask nothing. You got a problem with that Master thing, don't you? That Lord thing really stinks in your craw, don't it? Well, you're going to have to wrestle with it until you realize I need a Lord and I need a Master and I need somebody who's the boss of my life. It doesn't make me weak. It makes me wise that I picked the right person. See, I didn't pick MTV to be my teacher. I'm a wise man. I didn't pick any singer. I don't care if they're gospel singers. Half them gospel singers ain't got enough depth to get a spoonful. I'm sorry. You listen to the lyrics of the songs and they sound real good if you sing them 20 straight times over and over and over. But if that's the depth of what they've got about my God, I want to tell you something. Somebody needs to pull out a hymn and they need to find somebody who's been through something with God. And I'm telling you, read about four verses. Don't sing it. Just read the verses. Just take Amazing Grace and read the verses. And I'll show you somebody who walked through something with God and came out the other end with a deeper experience. Give me somebody who knows something about it. Now don't get me wrong. I don't want to sing them old hymns because, man, they stink. They do. You try to sing them, I'm telling you, it just wears on you. I just can't take it. It puts me to sleep. So don't be saying, oh, Brother Lott wants to go back and start singing all that. No. But what I'm telling you is you're after more than a spoonful of depth in your life. Nothing wrong with singing choruses. Nothing wrong with singing praise. But what you want from your life is something to where I know I have a Master and I have a Lord and I'm walking with Him and I walk through the valleys that are hard and I walk on top of the mountaintops where I shout. And through my life, I've learned something. Through my life, I've grown in things. Through my life, it's more than just singing when I'm happy and it's more than just shouting when I feel good. It's simply walking with Him day in and day out, and I've learned that in the good times and in the bad at times when I feel good and when I don't feel good, when I've got strength and when I don't got strength. I'm still going to walk with Him, and I'm still going to trust in Him, and I'm still going to lean on Him, because nobody else could wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've come to learn a few things in these years I've walked, and I don't know everything, don't claim to, don't plan to, but I know this much. I know more today than I knew yesterday, and I'll know more tomorrow than I know today. It's a journey that I've enjoyed with my Master. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. God says there's people in your life that you're going to have to. You're going to have to forgive them like God forgave you. You're going to have to love people who don't love you. You look at that rowdy bunch he had. He washed Judas's feet that he knew was going to kiss him in a short period of time and betray him. He washed his feet. Peter, he knew, would deny him 3 times before morning. He's washed his feet. All the others would run, hide, would hide out in the house while he was being crucified. But yet he washed their feet. Tell you something, don't look at your life and say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I'm going to tell you something. You have no idea what He went through. You have no idea. You never gave up that much, and you never was brought that low. You're never going to have to go through anything, for a servant is never above his master. But when a master does it, a servant cannot look at him and say, I won't. I used to work for my uncle. That was the best job I ever had, because my uncle was an electrician. Did central units, did all. But he also did any type of part-time stuff. Some person would say, I got this problem, will you help me? He'd get talked into it, and it might be a plumbing problem. I'm going to tell you something. We've been in some places and some scrapes. We used to have to dig trenches under certain holes just to get to the place that was the problem. It's bad when you're under a house and you have to dig a hole, putting dirt behind you and to the side of you, just trying to get a trench long, far enough to slide your belly under. Some of you that know that word, you know what I'm talking about. And it would have been one thing for him to sit in the truck and listen to the radio and say, Tim, tell me when you got it done. I'm going to tell you what he taught me. He would always be the one in front. Or he'd already been under there and he'd tell me to go. When we would go together, sometimes I'd be holding that old light in my hand and be water all over the place. We'd be laying plywood and boards, trying not to get wet. And he'd look at me and say, Tim, you know what happens if you drop that light? They'll be dragging both of us out of here. I said, don't worry. I said, I may drown in this water. I said, but I guarantee the light will stay above my head. But later in my life, when my first job in grocery stores was pushing buggies, and while some manager sat up in an office and crossed his arms in the air conditioning and said, get out there and push them buggies. Tim, go clean the bathrooms. Tim, I'll tell you what it had taught me. It had taught me that, you know what, I'm not too good. I hadn't gone too far. But the guy sitting up in that office, when he started in the grocery business years ago, guess what? That's where he started. And if that's where I got to start, it don't bother me at all. We have a problem in our society today. Somehow we've got it in our head that you watch these little Nickelodeon shows and people get money, but they don't ever do no work. You watch the soap operas and they all having love affairs and all going to eat at these fancy restaurants. You never see one of them pushing papers or having to sweep a floor. Or I got news for you, that's not real life. If you train yourself like that, you're not going to come out of college and all of a sudden just get that whopping job where you'll never have to push anything and all you're going to do is boss people around the rest of your life. Somehow we get it in our head, and Jesus said, I don't want you to get this in your head that you're bosses now. I want you to understand, your master was a foot washer. Your master was a foot washer. Your master was one that got on his knees. Your master was one that would die for you. And guess what? That's what I'm asking of you. I'm asking you to be that kind of servant, that kind of person. Let me hurry. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, which ye hear is not mine, but The servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent me, him. If you know these things, look at the person beside you and say, if you can know these things, what's going to happen? Happy are you in them. Are you happy because you know them? Now, I'm not trying to get you to just jump up and down this morning. I want you to solve something in your head. I want to try to answer the problem why you're so miserable in your life. I don't need you to jump up. I don't need you to run to an altar this morning. I need you to solve something in your life so that when you leave this place today, you have an understanding of why I'm not happy, even though I got probably more money than most people in this room. I'm still more miserable than most of them. How come? I'll tell you why. Because your master, the one you came to celebrate today, he said, the only way I'll ever make you happy is first you have to let me wash. First you have to let me cleanse you. And most of us in this room, we were smart enough to do that. We were smart enough to say, Lord, I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to save me. I need you. And that's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you, how come it didn't make us happy? It's because you're only happy when you act like your master. And to act like your master, you got to get up from this room today and you got to serve him. Well, how do I serve him? Just find the first person that can't pay you back. Find the first person that don't like you and like them anyway. Find the first person that cusses you and just kneel down and pray a blessing on them. Find the first person that cheats you and don't cheat them back. See, I make a real bad businessman, but I make a real good Christian. Because business minds is different, and I understand that. You know, you got to do business. See, my master never owned a business. My master never started a 401k. My master never put up a savings account. Don't get me wrong, you need a savings account. But see, everything I learned about my master is giving, loving, caring. Tim, when you got nothing left, don't worry, I'll make up the difference. If they cheat you, don't worry, Tim, it's my business to make up the difference. Somebody cheats you out of something, I'll give you a free one. Don't worry about it. Don't count it. Let me do all the adding. Jesus said, what I've done for you, go do for others. What I've done in your life, do it for others. If we could ever learn that simple philosophy, you think, well, I'd be upset if people cheat. No, you wouldn't. You'd be the most happiest people in the world. Because for the first time in your life, you wouldn't have to take care of yourself. You wouldn't be responsible for your stuff. You would realize that somebody paid the highest price possible. He showed me a way to live that changes my life and the world I live in. And this morning, He's calling you. He's calling you to follow it. To live in it. Is it easy? No, it's not. I told you it's like having the flu or getting your shots. Which one you want? But here's the thing. The flu can turn into pneumonia and double pneumonia and you can die. The doctor says if you take the shots in a few days, you will feel better. I'm telling you, from the moment you walk out of here, if you knew what He did for you, and you walked out here and said, Master, I'm going to love the way you loved. And Master, I'm going to care the way you cared. And Master, I'm going to forgive the way you forgave. Master, I'm going to serve the way you serve. Brother, I don't know what I need to do. I'll tell you what you can do. Just give you an idea. I got all kinds of them. If you don't like this one, come on, I'll give you another one. You need to have a party next weekend. Have a party next weekend. That's fun, ain't it? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to invite everybody you don't like. And I want you to cook the best you have out of your deep freezers. And I want you to cook the best that you can afford. What you'd cook for your best friend, I want you to bring out the china, and I want you to invite all the people you don't like. And I want you to invite them over to your house. And I want you just to treat them nice one weekend. Well, they don't care. It's not about them. When they leave your house that night, you wonder who's the happiest person in the world. I guarantee you it'll be you. Because there'll be a chain that breaks in your life that night. They'll walk out, maybe still mad at you, can't understand why you're loving them, but you'll walk out and there'll be freedom in your life. You'll think, you know what? That felt good. Be careful now. Feeling good gets to be contagious. You'll be wanting to do nice things for people all the time. You'll be wanting to smile more and laugh more and care more. If you don't like that, that's just too extreme for you. Come to me. I'll give you some small ones. I just told you how to fix it. Guys, I love you. I want you to pray for me this next week or two. I have 13 more days left. God's given me a lot of strength. Felt good this morning. I have a feeling after these two sermons, I'll be crashing pretty hard. Just know I love you. And if I can serve you in any way, if I can do anything for you, you let me know. And if it's in my power, I'll do it. I'm not saying that to be applauded. I can't ask you to do stuff that I wouldn't do for you. But because I will, I'm looking at you and I'm telling you, when you walk out of here today, go serve somebody who can't help you, who may not like you. Love them anyway. That's how the world gets changed. Will you stand?